Good morning. I'm Linda Perry with WBAI News. At least we're out of the deep, deep freeze. It's mostly cloudy today with a high near 40 degrees. Tonight, the low will be around 32. The good news is that it will be sunny on Saturday with a high near 47 degrees. It might snow very light on Saturday night with a low around 30 degrees. On Sunday, there's a chance of snow showers before 11 a.m., but it will be mostly sunny with a high near 42. The Crimean Parliament voted to join the Russian Federation on Thursday, calling a referendum in 10 days to validate its decision. It vowed to nationalize Ukrainian state industries. As one would expect in Washington, President Obama condemned the moves. He said the referendum would violate the Ukrainians' constitution and violate international law. Russian President Vladimir Putin was certainly behind Thursday's dramatic developments, but it wasn't clear whether he's aiming for outright annexation or simply strengthening his hand in talks with the West. Meanwhile, Interpol is studying a request by Ukrainian authorities to issue an alert for the arrest of President Viktor Yanukovych for abuse of power and murder. A statement from the International Police Organization says it received a request to issue a red notice, which informs Interpol's 190 member countries that an arrest warrant has been issued. A red notice is not an international arrest warrant. In Venezuela, a National Guardsman and a civilian were killed on Thursday after a group of men on motorcycles rode into an East Caracas neighborhood to remove a street barricade erected by anti-government protesters. The clash heightened tensions on the same day the Venezuelan government expelled foreign diplomats for the second time in a month. In other neighborhoods, motorcyclists dismantled barricades under the whistles and shouts of residents, but without violence. Venezuelans, fed up with food shortages and unchecked violence, have been staging nearly daily street protests since mid-February, snarling traffic with barricades of garbage, furniture, and burning tires. At least 21 people have been killed in related violence by government count in the country's worst unrest in years. President Nicolas Maduro's administration shows no signs of crumbling from several weeks of nearly daily demonstrations, but the country appears in a stalemate. Last month, Venezuela expelled three U.S. diplomats, accusing them of conspiring with opposition, a claim Washington denied. Meanwhile, in New York City, there was a march this week in support of the Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro, and in honor of Hugo Chavez. Demonstrators marched from Times Square to the New York Times. They chanted to the Times. They gave a letter to a New York Times representative asking them to stop what they said is their defamation campaign against the Maduro government. The marchers then went on to the U.S. Embassy at the United Nations. There, someone received a letter that was for the U.S. ambassador asking the U.S. to stop their funding to destabilize Venezuela. The House is blocking the Obama administration's plan to limit carbon pollution from new power plants. It voted 229 to 183 in favor of a bill that takes aim at President Barack Obama's proposal that the EPA set the first national limits on carbon pollution from new plants. Republicans are fighting back against what they call a war on coal by the Obama administration. Nearly a third of Riker Island inmates who say their visible injuries came at the hands of a correction officer last year suffered a blow to the head. That according to an internal report obtained by the Associated Press. The report says head blows are supposed to be a guard's last resort because it is potentially fatal. On the steps of City Hall yesterday, a new campaign called Real Affordability for All was launched by tenants, progressive organizations, community leaders, public housing residents, labor unions, and struggling workers who want Mayor de Blasio to make low-income New Yorkers the focus and priority of his highly anticipated plan for 200,000 affordable housing units set to be released by May 1st. The campaign defines real affordability as housing that low-income families earning less than $40,000 a year can actually afford. Also at City Hall, Public Advocate Tish James, Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, and representatives from good government groups called on Governor Andrew Cuomo to hold special elections to fill 11 vacant seats in the New York State Legislature immediately. As it is now, nearly 1.8 million New Yorkers have no representation. At least half of those districts are majority-minority districts. This means less of a voice in Albany for people of color on critical decisions like the budget, taxation, and major social programs. Lawrence Norden of the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center said, under the laws of New York State, the government must call a special election before these citizens can be fully and fairly represented in Albany. We urge him to do so immediately. At Federal District Court in New York City, the trial has begun for Suleiman Abu Ghaith, Osama bin Laden's son-in-law. He's accused of plotting to kill Americans by being a motivational speaker at al-Qaeda's training camps before the September 11th attacks and as a spokesman for the terror group afterward when it sought to recruit more militants to its cause. On Thursday, an American from Buffalo who trained at an al-Qaeda camp in Afghanistan months before the September 11th attacks testified for the government. Sahim Alwan, who pleaded guilty in 2003 to providing support to al-Qaeda, testified how he encountered Osama bin Laden and bin Laden's son-in-law at a safe house, and that bin Laden hinted that a suicide attack on U.S. soil was in the works. Alwan said bin Laden told him and other recruits, "Just know you have brothers willing to carry their souls in their hands." Asked what he thought that meant, Alwan responded, "To die." Alwan, 41 years old, was among a half dozen men who became known as the Lackawanna Six after their arrests on charges of providing material support to terrorists by attending bin Laden's Al-Farouk camp in Afghanistan in 2001. He pleaded guilty in 2003 and served about 7 years behind bars. And finally, it's a big win for car wash workers, a $3.9 million settlement for workers who suffered from unfair labor practices year after year. John Lage, Michael Lage, and Fernando Magalhães together operate approximately 21 car washes in New York City. Attorney General Schneiderman's agreements require the car washes and their owners to pay restitution totaling more than $2.2 million, more than $2.2 million, to an estimated 1,000 car wash workers for nearly 6 years of underpaid wages. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.